Deutsche Welle Africa Link.
Welcome to Africa Link with me, Assumpta Latus. Coming up, a day after World Football Body, FIFA, banned Nigeria from competing internationally, authorities in Nigeria say FIFA got it all wrong.
As a government, we have a constitutional duty to maintain law and order. And when factions in the football family begin to dispute, we have a duty to see that we don't allow them to kill themselves.
Zimbabwe breaks medical ground by successfully operating on conjoined twins.
It was really shocking when I heard that they were tied together. We did not expect that. But they looked healthy.
We will also be having the next installment in our radio drama series, Crossroads Generation.
Top story.
Nigeria is pondering the decision by FIFA, the International Federation of Association Football, to ban Nigerian teams from competing in any international competition. The world body says the suspension was due to meddling by the Nigerian government in the activities of the country's own football federation, NFF. FIFA's decision came only a few days before a women's team was due to fly to Canada for the U20 women's tournament. FIFA has given the NFF until the 15th of July to sort things out. Samuel Koya has more details from Lagos.
FIFA banned Nigeria from international football after the government sacked the leadership of the Nigerian Football Federation, NFF, and appointed a civil servant to run the body. The government's action was in line with a court order restraining some members of the NFF from running the body. Nigeria's sports minister, Tami Danagogo, says Nigerian authorities acted in line with FIFA's requirement that football administration be run properly.
What FIFA wants is that the right things are done and that there is a high level of independence in what is happening. So far, if you look at what has happened, I think government has been very fair. Government has done everything possible to unduly interfere.
The court order restraining some members of the NFF from running the body is the result of a bitter leadership struggle, a common occurrence within Nigeria's football administration, mainly because of the huge revenue received annually from the government. The sports minister says government interference has become imperative to prevent a breakdown of law and order.
As a government, we have a constitutional duty to maintain law and order. And when factions in the football family begin to dispute, we have a duty to see that we don't allow them to kill themselves. But beyond that, we have not done anything else. What we have done is to see that law and order is maintained.
The ban means that Nigeria may miss some forthcoming international football competitions. These include the Under-20 Women's World Cup, scheduled to start in Canada early next month. Nigerian football enthusiasts have mixed feelings about the suspension. This is what Joseph Blabo thinks.
FIFA should have banned Nigeria. I think they are not doing the wrong thing, because if they have given rules and regulations that the government shouldn't be involved in sport, then I think Nigeria should understand that fact.
But Gabriel Ashedu thinks differently.
No, FIFA don't have right to ban Nigeria. Though, because they are a governing body in football, they have right to ban any country. But banning Nigeria is not worth it. You know why? If I'm the one sponsor, a federal government sponsors NFF, and NFF does not have any right to do anything on their own. If they want to do anything on their own, they should go out and source for fund. If they're able to source for fund, then anything federal government interferes in their business, they can sue federal government to FIFA court, and FIFA will take action. But this present one, as far as I'm concerned, federal government has every right to ban NFF, and FIFA has no right to ban Nigeria.
The huge funding the NFF receives from the Nigerian government has consistently made the government want to monitor and sometimes interfere in the affairs of the body. Besides sacking the board of the NFF, the government also wants an account of what happened to millions of dollars the body received as subvention.
Sam Olukoya reporting. To find out how this news has been received in Nigeria, I called up Paul Bassey, a Nigerian sports commentator.
We are not very shocked because 4 years ago we had this same situation. The Nigerian Football Federation came back from the World Cup in South Africa and there were problems as to accountability. The government then said, look, come and account for the funds that we give to you for going to the World Cup. A line should be drawn between accountability and the scuttling of the running of football in any country. This time around, it has happened again. By the time they came back from Brazil, the government was interested in the NFF, the Nigerian Football Federation, making accounts as to how much money government gives to it. But unfortunately, it has taken a wrong turn in the sense that you don't have to track the board for you to be able to make them accountable. The statutes of FIFA are very clear. We had forewarned that, look, you cannot do this. FIFA is likely to ban you. I want to believe that with the window that we have from FIFA, when we go to court tomorrow, the matter will either be thrown out or for whatever reason, because FIFA says by the 15th we should get back. A court has never been used to solve football issues globally, and I don't think Nigeria will be an exception.
I'm just wondering, how independent is the Nigerian Football Federation?
The Nigerian Football Federation is independent, but however, we have to put it in the context of Africa, where governments are still subsidizing the running of sports. In the case of Nigeria, especially in the World Cup, the grants we get from FIFA is not enough to run football in Africa, and Nigeria is not an exception. So government does pump in a lot of money into the running of football. Therefore, government may be right in wanting the Football Federation to be accountable to the funds that they get. But we are saying that you should draw a line. You know, you don't sack a board. You don't throw out an elected board just because they are yet to render account of the money you give to it.
What are you suggesting that the NFF does in the future?
Some of the problems we have in this country is that change of leadership. The ministers that we have in this country are political. Take, for instance, with due respect, if Paul Bassey was the Minister of Sports, he would understand how these things are done. This minister is not 2 months old in office, and he has been ill-advised. The last minister was removed politically. He knew better. We are insisting that people who know, people who are cultured in sports, should be appointed ministers to run sports in this country.
I was speaking to Paul Bassey there.
Africa Link, because Africa is more than just a headline.
Fighting Ebola, boosting regional trade, introducing biometric identity cards. What do these things have in common? They were all on the agenda of a meeting of leaders from the Economic Community of West African States that has just been held in the Ghanaian capital Accra. Aze Kaleji has more.
For the ECOWAS leaders present in Accra, one of the most important topics on the agenda was to advance the ongoing progress on the adoption of a common currency for the regional bloc. The introduction of biometric identity cards for citizens of member countries also featured prominently. ECOWAS Chairman, Ghanaian President John Mahama, stressed the importance of these innovations for the region.
Our West African sub-region holds great potential for the more than 300 million people who live in it. They look up to us to help them realize their dreams. Our people want us to provide rapid and sustainable economic development, peace and security, and overall improvement in their lives. These are noble and attainable aspirations if we work together.
Kadril Wadrago, who is the president of the ECOWAS Commission, said there was a strong commitment to see results.
The needful increase of intra-regional trade will not be possible without a full application of the protocols on the free movement of persons and goods and strengthening regional infrastructure. Without forgetting the improvement of the Commission's performance, I would like to assure you that the conclusions of your deliberations will be implemented by the Commission with the requisite efficiency.
The leaders were also briefed on the threats posed by the deadly Ebola disease, which has killed more than 500 people in Guinea, Liberia and Sierra Leone. Earlier this month, the Ghanaian capital hosted an emergency conference called by the World Health Organization, which ended with a resolution to set up a regional fund. But President Mahama says more has to be done.
I wish to call for the contribution of urgently needed resources to speed up the containment effort. We must scale up our efforts and power to defeat this deadly disease.
What is important is collaboration, effective collaboration, sharing of information, We cannot get peace if we work in isolation.
That report was by Isaac Kaleji. For a woman to deliver twins is nothing unusual in our society. But having conjoined twins, that is, babies that are physically joined together, is. Reports say conjoined twins, also known as Siamese twins, are estimated to be born in a range from 1 in 50,000 to 1 in 200,000 births worldwide. Such children who survive face a life full of challenges. One such pair born in Zimbabwe in April this year has been successfully separated thanks to a team of 50 doctors who carried out an 8-hour operation, the first of its kind in Zimbabwe. Our correspondent Columbus Mavunga had a chance to visit them, and here is his report.
After losing his job as a professional chef due to the ailing economy, 44-year-old Moses Chitio went back to his rural home to look after his two kids and his wife, Agnes Mangoro. His wife became pregnant with twins. On 22 April this year, she gave birth to two baby girls who were joined at the stomach and shared the same liver. Chitio had every reason to worry. He did not have money for them to be operated on abroad.
It was really shocking when I heard that they were tied together. We did not expect that. But they looked healthy, the kids. The hospital asked for thousands of dollars for a CT scan, but I didn't have a cent on me. That was a big challenge. Business was low since I'd been running around during my wife's pregnancy.
Then the twins were transferred to Zimbabwe's biggest referral government hospital in Harare. For the next weeks, Moses Chitio and his wife watched and prayed. They hoped that some good Samaritan would chip in and raise money so that they could send them abroad to be separated. But then came along Dr. Bothwell Mbuayesango, a pediatric surgeon, to lead a team of 50 medical staff to do what had never before happened in Zimbabwe's history, separating Siamese twins. President Robert Mugabe visited the hospital where the twins are. He was full of praise for Dr. Mbuayesango and his medical team.
The world will be talking about us. Some will not believe, but the rest of the world will believe. They will believe because Zimbabweans, wherever they are known to be best performers. It doesn't matter where our people distinguish themselves. But this distinction now, the separation of Siamese twins, right here in the heart of Zimbabwe, in this hospital, it is something unbelievable.
For a country that has been hard hit by brain drain and economic hardships, it is understandable that President Mugabe could not contain his joy for Zimbabwe's operation on Siamese twins, Kupakwashe and Tapiwa Nashe, which means God's gift, and we have been given by God. There they are, among the babies crying at Harare Central Hospital as Mugabe passed by, the first Siamese twins to be separated in Zimbabwe.
Columbus Mavunga.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hi there. Today it's episode 12 of Crossroads Generation, Facing the Consequences.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future starts today.
In our radio drama, we are following the daily lives of a group of African teenagers. They are all students at the Posh Bongo Academy High School, or at least they are at the moment. But the principal has just told Nikki's father that his son has been suspended for drug abuse.
Our school guard has seen him several times with the man at the school fence who happens to be a known drug dealer. I'm afraid your son has been smoking marijuana.
What? Our Nikki?
Mercy has a lot on her mind too. Her father Msoto has been held at the police station for a robbery he didn't commit.
Here's the money, officer. Now, you make absolutely sure that Msotho rots in the cells forever and nobody ever finds out I framed him for the robbery.
On top of all this, Banda, one of Masi's younger brothers, is ill. She took him to the hospital and missed class in the morning. Her classmate Trudy took advantage of this to betray Masi's trust.
Principal Julia, there's something I have to tell you. It's about Masi. She's pregnant.
What? The father of the baby is Dan, one of Masi's classmates. Right now, though, Dan's mind seems to be elsewhere. Listen in to today's episode called You Break the Rules, You Pay the Price.
Hey, Dan, wait up.
What is it, Biko?
Here, a letter came for you. The stamp says Laboria, and it looks like it's a girl's handwriting. Hmm? You didn't tell me you had a sister.
Hey, are you going to give me the letter or are you going to interrogate me, officer?
Okay, here you are.
My darling Dan.
Ooh.
Shut up and let me read this alone.
I've got it. I've got it.
Come on. Biko, stop that. Stop it. Come on.
No, wait.
Biko, give me back that letter.
No, wait.
It's
no.
Private, man.
No, it's interesting.
Give it to me.
I'll read it for you.
No, Biko, give me that letter. Biko. Man.
My darling Dan.
Man.
I haven't heard from you for a long time.
Biko.
You haven't answered any of my emails.
Come on.
I don't even know if you're okay or whether the promise you made to me still stands.
Biko, come on. Stop it. Stop it, Biko. Come on. Give me the letter.
No. You might beat me at basketball, but you can't win this fight.
Man.
Don't you want to know how the letter goes on?
It's none of your business.
I still love you. Even though you're so far away.
Biko.
I'm preparing a surprise that will prove to you just how much I love you. Your sweetheart, Anita. Uh-oh.
Just shut up. Will you?
So, Councillor Mkaraba, this is where Msotho and the others are being held at our police station. You can go in. I'll be just out here.
Thanks, officer.
Oh, look who's here. The councillor himself. How are you, Mkaraba? Make yourself comfortable. What did they arrest you for? Hmm? Oh, excuse my bad manners. What will you have for lunch? Steak? Wine? Oops, I forgot. We are at the police station. In this cell, we don't serve the kind of gourmet food you're used to. But here, you can have my boiled cabbage instead.
Welcome,
Mr. Mkaraba.
I warn you, Msotho. Don't push it.
Mr. Mkaraba, in here, it doesn't matter how much money you have on the outside. In here, we are all the same. Criminals.
And it seems you don't know the first thing about what it means to have money, do you? It means that for the right price, you can buy anything.
Oh, really? Is that so? Then what are you doing in a police cell?
In case you hadn't noticed, and like you, I am a free man. I didn't come here to share this nice little cell and your delicious cabbage with you. I came here to warn you. Stop harassing me. Didn't you ever ask yourself why you were arrested for a crime you didn't commit?
What are you talking about?
I am talking about the robbery, Msotho. I organized the robbery at the Jumbe's house, and I got you blamed for it.
What? So it was you all along?
Keep your voice down. Or do you want your new friends in here to know all about our little secret? I put you in here to get you out of the way. But so I could enjoy life with my wife and our baby. Our baby. But you are becoming a threat to our peaceful family life, if you know what I mean. But think what else I could do if you and especially your wife continue to play your little game. Don't forget, you sold your baby to me, and I paid you in full.
Mkaraba, you can't do this.
Stop bothering me, Msotho, or I will cause you more trouble than you can even begin to imagine.
Mr. Mkaraba,
Please come with me. Visiting time is over.
See you around, Mr. Msoto. And tell your wife to keep away from my house. She keeps coming and peeping into my compound, looking for a baby that is rightfully mine. If I see her sneaking around there one more time, my dog Linus will not be quite so friendly.
Damn it.
Silence! Every school has rules that each and every student must abide by. Rules are not there to punish you. They are there for your own good. But I've told you all again and again that if you're caught breaking the rules, you will be punished. Unfortunately, it seems that when I said that, I was talking to a brick wall. Some of you simply refuse to listen. Will the following students please step forward? Nicholas Jumbe.
Yes, madam.
Daniel Kanyama.
Yes.
Silence. Mercy Msoto. Where is... Mercy, is this the time you come to class? The school day is almost over.
I'm sorry, Madam Juliet. I had to take my little brother to hospital.
Slum girl is busted.
Silence. Silence. Jael, if you don't shut up, you'll be the next one I call up here. Mercy, Dan, Nikki, you three are coming with me to my office. The rest of you answer questions on page 145 of your books. I want everyone to work silently until I come back. Now, do you know why I called you here?
No, Madam Juliet.
Fine. Let's start with Nikki. Apparently, Mr. Nicholas Jumbe is a drug lord of Bongo Academy. He not only drinks alcohol, he also smokes marijuana. Do you have anything to say for yourself, Nikki?
No, Madam Juliet.
And then there's Mr. Daniel Kanyama, heir to the famous Kanyama Corporation and Bongo's number one womanizer. Apparently, Dan and Mercy have been playing husband and wife and are now expecting their firstborn. Isn't that right, Dan? Mercy? Now, as they say, when you sow, there comes a time to reap. The three of you are hereby suspended from Bongo Academy. You break the rules, you pay the price. All of you, pack your things and go. You'll hear from us as soon as the board of directors has decided what to do with you.
But, madam, I didn't do anything.
Please, madam. I'm so sorry.
No buts, no pleading, and no excuses. I'm extremely disappointed in your behavior. All of you.
Oh, gosh.
God damn it.
Out!
And that's where we end today's episode of Crossroads Generation, a learning by ear radio drama. How will Nikki, Dan and Mercy take the news? And what do you think? Is the principal right to suspend the three of them? You're welcome to discuss this on our Facebook page. If you'd like to listen to this or any other episode again, just visit our website at dw.de/LBE. Until next time, take care.
Let's have now a summary of what we have covered in today's show. A day after FIFA banned Nigeria from competing in international football competitions, authorities in Nigeria say FIFA got it all wrong. Fighting Ebola was one of the issues discussed at a meeting of West African regional body, ECOWAS. And Zimbabwe breaks medical ground by successfully separating conjoined twins. And that's where we wrap up this edition. If you have questions or comments, don't hesitate to drop us a line at our email address, which is feedback.africa@dw.de. Or use our postal address, which is Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. Until tomorrow, I'm Assumpta Latus. Thanks for listening.